Well, this morning we have a guest joining us here on our program. He is Chad Timm. He's a professor at Simpson College here in Indianola, here in Iowa. And we're going to talk a little bit about a program he's got coming up this weekend at the American Legion Memorial Building here in Atlantic, the Old Armory. That'll be a 2 o'clock Sunday presentation called Working with the Enemy. We're going to go back to the World War II days. Chad, good morning. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to talk to folks in Atlantic and share this story.
Well, Working with the Enemy is the name of the presentation, and it's going to cover some things that maybe a lot of folks in Iowa don't remember or really never knew much about when it comes to World War II history.
Absolutely. This is it's kind of what I found, and I've been researching and talking about this for almost 20 years now, and what I find is that the general public aren't aware of the fact that there were upwards of 30,000 German, Italian, and Japanese prisoners of war in Iowa during World War II. And so I'm excited to tell the story and to kind of open some folks' eyes about this. But what I will say is that I travel around the state, and nearly everywhere I go, I run into someone who has a family connection to this story, whether they had prisoners of war working on their grandparents' farm back in World War II, or I've actually interviewed folks who remember the prisoners of war in Iowa during World War II. So while it's not a well-known story, I always run into some folks who have a connection. So hopefully I'll run into some similar folks in Atlantic this weekend.
You bet. And close to home here, close to Southwest Iowa.
Absolutely. There during World War II, from 1944, from the fall of 44 into the spring of 1946, there were two prisoner of war camps in Iowa. One was in Clarinda in southwestern Iowa, and the other was in Algona. And these two main camps, each camp was built on about 186 acres, and they cost $1 million to build back in late 1944. And they housed upwards of 3,000 enemy soldiers and 500 American troops that served as guards for the camps. And while there were two main camps in Clarinda and Algona, there were also dozens of smaller branch camps scattered throughout the state, and those branch camps ranged from Tabor, Iowa, to Eldora, to Waverly, to Toledo, Iowa, and Shenandoah. So quite a few folks witnessed the POWs in their communities in World War II.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the things I've heard of and read about are kind of interesting stories, because you would think with prisoners of war during wartime, all this kind of stuff, that it would be a lot of bad stuff, a lot of negative stuff. But I've heard a lot of positive stories about this, too.
Absolutely. I mean, here's the bottom line, and this is one of the main themes that I will talk about on Sunday. The bottom line is that when World War II broke out, the War Food Administration of the United States government asked Iowa farmers to do more. They asked them to grow more. They asked them to produce more in order to help basically feed, clothe, and take care of the 8 million men and women that are going to be fighting overseas. But by 1943, 70,000 Iowans had been drafted to fight World War II, and these are primarily 18- to 25-year-old men who would have served quite often as farm laborers during the busy spring and fall farming seasons. And so Iowa farmers are being asked to do more with less help to do it. And as a result, what happens is that the U.S. government institutes a policy whereby farmers could essentially hire German prisoners of war to come from the camp to their farm to work for them. And so at first thought, you might think that people would resist this and reject it and be fearful and nervous about it, and all of that is true. But after 2 years of a farm labor program, folks actually surprisingly and amazingly, in some cases, developed friendships and relationships with these enemy soldiers that would last a lifetime.
Absolutely. I've got to ask, Chad, because I see you're an associate professor of education at Simpson College. I don't see history
right
there. You must really enjoy history.
Well, that's a great question, and you know, I have an undergraduate degree in history and a master's degree in history, and my PhD is in education. I was a high school history teacher in the Des Moines area for 15 years, and so my area of expertise in education is history education. So I teach like the history and the foundations of education. I teach folks who want to be history teachers. So I you know, was a classroom history teacher for many years, and then decided that I wanted to be someone who taught people how to teach history. And so that's what I do now every day, is I, is I teach young people who want to be teachers how to be history teachers.
Oh, very
and
good.
It allows traveling the state and telling this story allows me to stay rooted in the historian part of my training and while I'm doing the education part of my training on a daily basis.
Sure it does. Well, how about this part of history, learning about this type of thing? How did you ever get started with this?
Well, easy answer to that question. I grew up very close to my grandparents on both sides of my family. My first history teachers were my grandpas. Both my grandpas served in World War II. My grandpa Tim was a pilot. He flew P-38s for the Army Air Corps during the Italian invasion. And my maternal grandpa, his name is Bill McNamara. My grandpa McNamara was a Marine who was at Iwo Jima. And so I grew up hearing stories about their service. But more than that, I was close to my grandmas, too. And my maternal grandma, she actually grew up in Shenandoah. And when I started working on my master's degree, and I mentioned to my grandma, I said, Grandma, did you know that they were, and I didn't know this until I was in graduate school, that these prisoner of war camps existed. And my grandma, McNamara, she said, well, I was 17 in 1945, and I worked at Earl May Nursery in Shenandoah, and there were Japanese men there. I wonder if that had anything to do with it. And, of course, it turns out that in 1945, there were about 2,000 Japanese soldiers that were being held at Camp Clarinda, which is a short distance from Shenandoah. And so my interest in World War II, you know, began with hearing my grandparents tell stories about this time period, and then it's just my interest led to this work. And I do believe Tom Brokaw's statement about this generation, that it's the greatest generation, and I have no doubt in my mind that that's the case. And every year, that generation gets older and older, and we lose more and more. And so, I want to make sure that young folks don't forget their stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we're losing so many people from that generation that have firsthand knowledge of a lot of these types of issues that happened during World War II. It's valuable information to be able to catalog so that we don't lose it forever. Do you get feedback, firsthand feedback from folks when you do these types of presentations?
You mean in terms of people that remember this?
You bet.
Or yeah. I gave a similar talk in Waverly, Iowa, and Waverly, Iowa was a location where there was a branch camp. So the main camp at Algona could house upwards of 3,000 enemy soldiers, and for a temporary period, they opened up a branch camp of about 100 to 200 prisoners of war in Waverly, and those POWs worked in a canning factory there. And when I was giving this talk in Waverly, after the talk, someone came up to me and he said, when I was a child, at this time, we had a German soldier who actually stayed at our house. Well, the policy was supposed to be that you would go into the camp, pick up the German POWs who were going to work for you, bring them to where they were going to work, and then bring them back at the end of the day. Well, this family apparently just let the German soldiers stay in their home for a week, and the camp allowed them to do so, which, you know, is against policy. But that's the kind of story that people tell me when I travel around the state. It's remarkable, and they became so close to this German soldier who worked for them that they actually stayed in touch with them after he was repatriated back to Germany.
Welcome to Iowa.
I know, it's crazy.
Chad, with this presentation coming up on Sunday afternoon, what should folks expect? Will there be some media involved there too?
Absolutely. I have a presentation where I have photographs of prisoners of war working in Iowa. I have photographs in the presentation of some of the artwork that was created by German soldiers at Camp Algona. I interviewed many people who had firsthand experience. I have interviewed a woman named Corinne Gerker, who was the camp commander's private secretary at Camp Clarinda, and I tell stories about some of the experiences that she had when she was there. So it's a presentation that it's interactive. I ask folks to share their own stories if they have them, and to ask questions. And I typically have good response from folks.
Very good. So it'll be enlightening, informational, educational, all those kinds of things coming up here this Sunday. Very good. That's a 2:00 presentation. That's this Sunday, and that's Working with the Enemy is the title of that. Professor Chad Tim will be presenting that here this Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock again at the Armory, the Old Armory, the Atlantic American Legion Memorial Building. Hope you get a chance to come on out. That is a free presentation brought to you by Arise here locally. Chad, again, thank you so much for your time. Good luck with the presentation. Hope all goes well for you, and happy travels.
Thank you very much, Jim. I look forward to seeing the folks in Atlantic.